Thank you for joining us. You are listening to the podcast that highlights the weekly sermons from Cumberland County Community Church in Millville, New Jersey. Each week, you will hear biblically based messages from our senior pastor, Sal Roggio, or other community church pastors. For more information on our church, please visit cccmillville.org or check out the links in the podcast notes. We begin each message with our scripture reading, so here we go.
Today's reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 19. After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli, the priest who was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord, she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, No, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you petition that you have made to him. And she said, Let your servant find favor in your eyes. Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, then went back to their houses in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. This is the word of the Lord.
So today we're going to talk about God's blueprint for a Christian home. And this kind of, like the concept applies to everyone. This isn't specific to mothers. So we are going to take the angle and honor moms. And quite frankly, we all know who runs the house. Regardless of what we say, we men have no say in what happens in the house. So we're going to try to encourage and push moms to continue to be the best that they can be. So I went through and I wanted to look up some statistics of what's going on with Mother's Day. And it is these are stats from the last couple years. This year, they anticipate people will spend $31.7 billion on Mother's Day. And that's about an average, they're saying, of about $250 per person for their mother. Some of you are thinking to yourself, oh, I could have gotten away with only 250. And some of you are saying to yourself, ooh, 250. If you haven't yet got a gift for your mom, I want to share with you a few things that maybe you should avoid. First and foremost, don't buy anything that plugs in. It's going to be seen as utilitarian and something as a need, not a want. Don't buy clothing that involves sizes. Out of 7,000 times, you're going to get it wrong 6,999 times. And I don't need to tell you what happens if you buy something that's too big or something that's too small. Next thing, avoid all things that are actually useful. Just because it says it's, just because you see it as seen on TV doesn't mean that mom wants it on Mother's Day. Don't buy anything that might involve weight loss or self-improvement. I do not need to explain that one. Don't buy jewelry. Quite frankly, the jewelry she wants, you can't afford, and the jewelry you can afford, she doesn't want. Wish we could go back to the days of the macaroni necklace. That would be so much easier. And finally, don't spend too much money, because she'll wonder, how do you think we can afford that? But don't spend too little money on it, because then she'll think to herself, is this all I'm actually worth? Just a few things as you guys are running to Target after church today. Keep that all in mind. So Americans are going to spend nearly $3 billion on flowers alone today. Flowers, Mother's Day accounts for about a quarter of all the flower sales throughout the year, ranking third behind Valentine's Day and Christmas. There are 87 million Americans who are planning on dining out today, taking mom out to eat. Americans are going to spend about $113 million on Mother's Day cards. I think that's a little low. Have you tried to buy a card lately? Oh my. It makes you want to go home and grab your crayons and make it for mom. It'd be good to go. So the most popular Mother's Day gifts or purchases are going to be greeting cards, flowers, and a special meal out. There's approximately 2.2 billion mothers in the world and about 85 million mothers here in the United States. And since Mother's Day always falls on a Sunday, it is the third highest attended Sunday service throughout the year based on Lifeway research, Christmas and Easter taking the top two spots. And I'm not calling anyone out today. If you're here because mom dragged you in, it's still a good thing. Moms are just phenomenal creatures. They are so unique and so special, and they do some incredible things. It's estimated that a mom, before a child turns two, will change nearly 7,300 diapers. And that a mom will take roughly 2 minutes to change a diaper, which adds up to about three 40-hour work weeks in that span. And then a dad will take about 1 minute and 36 seconds, which then the mom takes another 2 minutes to fix that one. A preschooler requires mom's attention every 4 minutes, nearly 210 times a day. And a preschool mom will spend almost 3 hours a day on primary child care. Laundry. 88% of laundry is done by moms, totaling nearly 330 loads of laundry, 5,300 articles of clothing each year. And it's been said that a mom's least favorite chore is vacuuming the stairs. A few quotes about moms. This one comes from an unknown source. It says, cleaning up with children around is like shoveling during a blizzard. Arlene Benedict says, to a child's ear, mother is magic in any language. Jill Churchill says, there is no way to be a perfect mother and a million ways to be a good one. Maya Angelou says, to describe my mother would be to write about a hurricane in its perfect power. And James Aggie says, a mother never realizes that her children are no longer children. Mothers have an incredible power, an incredible influence on their children, and it's reflected in the general amount of attention mothers get that fathers, quite frankly, don't. There are more cards sent on Mother's Day than on Father's Day. There are more phone calls made on Mother's Day than on Father's Day. A dad will pour himself into his son's life. He will teach him to play baseball, teach him football, basketball, will take him hunting, take him fishing, will teach him how to drive. And then as a father drops him off onto college, this young boy is now playing for his college team, makes a great play, goes to get interviewed by the local TV station, and the first thing out of his mouth is, "Hi, Mom." Moms do so much. So moms take on a number of different roles, a number of different jobs within the household. And I've listed just a few of them here, you can see. A mom is an executive housekeeper, an executive chef. They are a daycare teacher, facilities manager, a network administrator, a psychologist, a janitor, a taxi driver, a laundry manager, a chief executive officer. She's a maintenance supervisor, a groundskeeper, an interior designer, a logistics analyst, a plumber, a staff nurse, a personal shopper, an athletic trainer. She's a photographer. She's a social media marketing manager. She's an academic advisor. She's a recreational therapist. She's a coach, a tailor, a tax accountant, a judge, a school teacher, a nutritionist, computer operator, an office administrator, and that just starts the description of what a mom does. A stay-at-home mom works nearly 92 hours a week. To be compensated for this, she would need to be paid nearly $145,000 for what she does at home. But, I mean, it's really the joy of raising kids, right? God's blueprint for building a Christian home. John Gray is quoted as saying, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." For godly mothers, are like the blueprints of a building. They portray the building for building the lives of their children upon the principles of God's word. So that when their children grow up and they lead their own lives, they'll be able to enjoy the benefits of the things they learn that their mother, the blueprint that she has laid out for them. A mother is a vital part of God's blueprint for building a good Christian home. And we're going to look at some images this morning that mothers provide in making the Christian home what it should be. The first thing a Christian home should be is a storm shelter. Children need security. Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge." God provides a refuge for us, a place that we can turn to in times of storms. Similarly, we too should have a safe space for children to turn to when the storms of life hit them, regardless of their age. Children want to know that there's a safe place that they can go to where they can find peace in the face of the storms. There was a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old who went to the store to buy flowers for their mom with their very own money. And they're so excited to be able to give this gift to mom. Mom got them and she was thrilled and a little confused. The older child told her that when they saw the flowers, they thought of her because they were so pretty. And they said, "Rest in peace." They said, "We thought it would be perfect for you since you're always looking for some peace so you can rest." Isaiah 32 is a foreshadowing of what Christ's reign is going to look like for us. He says in verse 16, "Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will abide in the fruitful field. And the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever." Don't you think our homes should reflect righteousness and peace and trust, creating a sense of security for our children, creating a sense of security for all who may come into the space? I think moms play an extremely vital role in that comfort, that peace sensation. So a Christian home should be a storm shelter. A Christian home should be an emergency room. And I'm not talking, we're talking like a trauma center for all the non-medical emergencies in life. Every child is going to get wounded sooner or later. They're going to get hurt. Someone's going to break their heart. Someone's going to call them a name. And when that happens, where do they turn? For us, in our times of trouble, Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." A mother should reflect this to her children. A mother has her emergency room open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I can't think of no other person better to demonstrate the comfort and protection that is described in Psalm 23 than a mother. Psalm 23, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And I think a Christian home can help demonstrate what this is to have someone with you when we're walking through those valleys. A place where we can turn to and we can shake off our fear because there is comfort, there is righteousness, there is peace, and we know that healing will take place there. So a Christian home should be a storm shelter, a Christian home should be an emergency room, and a Christian home should be a filling station, a place where you can go, get checked out, refueled, a fuel that keeps you going, and that fuel is love. Hannah was a great example of a godly mother, mostly because of what she named her son. But she was a great example of a godly mother who loved her child. She prayed for a son and dedicated him to serving the Lord even before he was conceived. In 1 Samuel 1:11 says, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, and then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. Different Samuel. Verse 20, it says, in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. And then it continues, eventually, this young boy of hers, she's going to follow through on this commitment, this prayer, this call that she gave to God. She said, we see it in verse 21, the man Elkanah and his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, when he had gotten to the age where he no longer needed mom, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, to an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the boy to Eli. And she said, Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am praying the woman who is standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord, for this child I prayed. And the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. How much greater love could a mother have for her children than to give them over to the service of the Lord? And it's not the same as... we have different expectations today, but we should always be pushing our children to the service of the Lord. And the filling does not just happen in the house. Hannah brought Samuel to the temple. She incorporated the corporate worship in the corporate house as a part of her child's life. I'm going to break off a little bit and talk about my mom, who also named her son Samuel. And prayed for him all the time, especially after he learned to talk and walk. But my mom brought her love and brought her fill-ups wherever she went. Specifically, at our basketball games. Now, a few years ago, called my brother-in-law, called my siblings, and all I said to them, I'm going to ask you a couple questions about mom, and this is what we got.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good, Sam, how are you?
Doing well. Do you remember my mom during basketball games?
Sure, yeah, I think so.
Do you by chance happen to remember what she would do anytime one of her kids scored?
Yeah, I think one of those moments comes to mind.
Can you tell me or show me or let me hear what she would do?
Woohoo! Yeah.
Hey, Sissy, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing all right. Hey, we're talking about moms. Do you remember mom when she would come to our basketball games?
Yeah.
Do you remember what she would do when one of us would score?
Yeah, she'd scream.
Do you know what that sounded like?
Woohoo!
I think I had a little more gusto. Can you give me more gusto?
Woohoo!
That was it. Was anyone else in the room making that sound at that time?
No.
Yeah. It was very clear which kid scored. Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was right. Hey, Sean, do you remember mom would come to our basketball games?
Yes. Yes, she would. She would make herself known.
Do you remember what mom would do whenever one of us would score?
Yahoo!
And when she would do that, what was so special about it?
You knew right where she was.
And would she do that for anyone else?
No.
Who would she do it for?
Just us.
Just us. Hey, Seth. Hey, you remember when Mom used to come to our basketball games?
Oh, yeah, obviously. Absolutely.
Do you remember that sound she'd make after you score?
Oh, it's an unforgettable sound. I would never forget that.
What was it like?
It was something like, woo-hoo!
And she was, would you say she was the only one that was making that sound?
I would say she was the only person who would ever make that sound.
Hi, Dad. I want to ask you a couple questions about Mom.
Okay.
Remember in the day, Mom would come to our basketball games.
Yep.
And our mother became famous for a certain act that she would do. Do you remember what that was?
Nice little war hoop. Oh, basically whenever any one of her kids did something, whatever, almost. It was scoring points or a good pass, whatever, that it resulted in something good.
Now, do you remember what this sounded like?
Well, I can't mimic it because I'm no good at it, but it was a high, shrill yes or a scream, yahoo.
And why did she do that?
She was supporting her kids. I mean, that was just natural for her. Got her excited to see her kids do well.
Now, what was your war cry?
I didn't really have a war cry. I just yell at the refs.
Everybody knew who my mom was because my mom didn't care. My mom didn't care what other people thought about her affection. And I think a good Christian mother will not care what other people think about their affection and their desire to support their children. If you spend any time in my house, you're going to hear terms like honey, baby, pumpkin, little one, big one. We do have a little one. You'll hear phrases like, oh, my baby, or oh, pumpkin. Quite frankly, if it wasn't for me, my boys would have no idea what their real names were. Moms don't care. They love their babies. My mom made me play harder. She made me work harder. And because I knew what would come from my little successes. What was really neat is it didn't matter if I had a good game or a bad game. I always got a hug and I always got encouragement afterwards. I still remember the first time my mom came to one of my college games. She wasn't able to make too many of those. And there was a great anticipation among me and my siblings if she would continue doing this yahoo. I was successful in college, more so than I was in high school, and I scored somewhere around 40 points. And I remember after the game, my mom couldn't talk for a week, so it was a win-win. But even if I didn't play well, and even if I wasn't a success out there, my mom was there for me all the time. She was a filling station. Christian home should be a filling station of comfort and of love. So Christian home should be a storm shelter, it should be an emergency room, should be a filling station, and it should be a schoolhouse. And moms teach us some amazing things through life. Things like logic. If everyone else jumped off a cliff, would you do it too? They teach us medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. They teach us how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. They teach us about zoology. This room is a pigsty. Genetics. You are just like your father. They teach us about our roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? They teach us about the wisdom of age. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. They teach us about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. They teach us about patience. Just wait till your father gets home. They teach us about justice. One day you will have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. They teach us about religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. They teach us about logic. Because I said so, that's why. They teach us about stamina. You will sit here until all the spinach is gone. They teach us about poverty. There are starving children in Africa who would love to have this meal. They teach us about weather. It looks as if a tornado swept through this room. They teach us about irony. Stop crying, or I'll give you something to cry about. They teach us about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. And then the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. Someone else may be better at teaching your children math, or better at teaching them how to type, or about science. But the home should be where a child learns about life. A life of hope, a life of love, a life of joy, about life everlasting. And the Bible tells us it's mom and dad's responsibility to teach about life. In Proverbs, it refers to that. It says in Proverbs 6, "My son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teachings. Bind them in your hearts always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproof of discipline are the way of life." Children need to be taught how to deal with the issues of life. They need to be taught this, how to deal with it in a way that chases after Christ in a Christian home. They need to know how to get along with people, how to be good, a decent and honest person. They need to learn about values, what's right, what's wrong, morality and its application versus immorality and its consequences. The things that are most important in life should be taught by mom and dad in the Christian home. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's a mom who was walking her four-year-old daughter. Her daughter picked something up, was getting ready to put it in her mouth, and she said, "No, no, no, don't do that." And the daughter says, "Why?" "Because it's dirty. It's been outside. It probably has germs on it, honey." At this point, the daughter's looking at her mom with amazement. "How did you know all this stuff?" And the mother thought to herself, thought quickly. She said, "All moms know this stuff. It's on the mommy test. You have to know it or they don't let you be a mommy." Daughter thought about it, was walking along. A couple minutes later, she said, "I get it. So if you don't pass the test, you have to be a daddy." The great historical drama, The Golden Girls, once said this: "It's not easy being a mother. If it were easy, fathers would do it." We should center the home education around Christ, building a firm foundation. And I can't think of a more important time in life than now to have that home that is built on the solid foundation that is Christ. Because when they go into school, when they go outside your home, nearly everything out there is opposing Christ. If they don't have that firm foundation at home, they're going to get shook. Christian home should be a schoolhouse. A Christian home should also be a Dave and Buster's. Dave and Buster's is a slogan: eat, drink, and play all under one roof. A child should not need to go searching for fun. At home, play games, interact, enjoy the presence of each other. It doesn't cost money to get together and to enjoy each other's presence. In our home, we constantly have what is known as forced family fun. It's a little phrase we adopted from my sister-in-law. We played cheesy board games. We played cheesy card games. When the boys were young, they would gang up with their mother to beat me. And now that they are older, they don't need their mother to beat me. Listen to music, dance, have fun, laugh, watch a movie, eat popcorn, let the popcorn fall on the floor, get a dog, it fixes that. Just have fun at home. Ecclesiastes 5, behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find fulfillment in all the toil with which one toils under the sun and the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept this lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift from God. For he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. There should be an overflowing joy coming from the home, a joy that is not tainted by what is going on in the outside world. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I think there's a general sense of joy in this process. In my house, laughter is one of the main food groups. And as my children get older and their wit gets sharper, the pain in my heart. No, it's a fun environment. I have yet to see a person won to Christ by a grumpy Christian. It just doesn't happen. And listen, in this space, we don't all have the same sense of humor. Not all households are conducive to laughter. Not all moments are meant for laughter, but the child should be able to let his hair down in his own home. So a Christian home is a storm shelter. It's an emergency room. It's a filling station, a schoolhouse, a Dave and Buster's. But I think most importantly, the Christian home must be a worship center. A child should not be taught to wait until Sunday to worship God. And who better to demonstrate the act of worship through all things than mom? There was a lady cleaning her house, and she's singing gospel songs as she's working. She's singing, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. And her young boy in the other room starts singing along with her. As she's going along, she realizes something's not quite right. So she stops singing, and he continues on. Soon and very soon, we are going to Burger King. Our home should be holy ground because God is there. Children should know that God is real because he's real to their parents. Timothy's mother, Eunice, was commended very highly by Paul. And 2 Timothy says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. Mothers must pass on to their children a faith to live by. Eunice raised Timothy to have a great faith in God despite their home being religiously divided. There's an old Spanish proverb that says, an ounce of mother is worth more than a pound of clergy. You can see the importance of generations of Christian faith, and you see that Lois, Timothy's grandmother, played a pivotal role in grounding Eunice and thus grounding Timothy in a sincere faith in God. Children should know that God is real, not just a Bible story that you read, but they should know that he is real because they're influenced by the parents in the home. Because homes are like a worship center where Christ is not just spoken of, but lived out. Christ is patterned after, and they set an example for all to see. Rose Kennedy, the mother of John F. Kennedy, was quoted in her book, Celebrating Mothers. She said, whenever I held my newborn babe in my arms, I used to think that what I did and what I said to him would have an influence, not only on him, but on everyone he meets, not for a day or a year, but for all time and for eternity. What a challenge, what a joy. And there might be some in here who are thinking to themselves, I didn't have this type of home growing up. I didn't establish this type of home growing up. And the best thing about God, man, it's not too late. He's a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, we can go on, chances. Start today. Don't wait till Monday, start today. And I know sometimes it's difficult because the children don't fall in line right away, but when has that ever happened? Mothers, parents, get the blueprints from the architect, God. So Christian home is a storm shelter. It's a secure fortress, a refuge for their children. It's an emergency room, always open to take care of whatever emergencies arise. It's a filling station for all the tune-ups that we need from time to time. It's a schoolhouse teaching about life and how to grow up with manners, morality, and chasing after Christ. It's a Dave and Buster's creating an environment of joy and togetherness. And it should be a worship center where spirituality is not only taught, but it is seen in the lives of the parents, where God is a priority. Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful for the role that mothers play in our lives. And there are many moms in this room who reflect you and have reflected you, and there are many moms in this room who look back on regret. But God, we know that it is your desire for us to continue to turn to you day to day to chase after you. And there's no perfect people. There's no perfect parent. There's no perfect home, God. But so long as we strive after you, so long as we put eternal things first, you will be honored and you will be blessed. God, thank you for moms. Thank you for the roles they played in each of our lives. Thank you for relationships that have been restored, for parents that have set incredible examples. Thank you for being there in place of a mom that we might not have had. Father God, we love you. We honor you. We are so grateful for your presence. Your great holy name we pray. Amen. God bless. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. Please like, share, and subscribe so you will be notified when the next sermon is uploaded. If you have any questions, would like a copy of the sermon notes, or would like to speak with someone directly, you can find our information on our website at cccmillville.org or in the podcast notes. Until next time, God bless.